Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Brian is back. This is Shane Vanderhart, and we are celebrating the fact Brian is back.
We need a brass band. We need... You know,
we should have baked you a cake. Of
we should have. We missed citizens. You last week, Brian. The studio was just strangely silent, and your chair was empty, and it looked so lonely.
I doubt it was silent.
Well, no, it's true. That Ron just couldn't shut him up. He just, you know, was talking my ear off last week.
I just ran off at the mouth.
Carlson could not be contained.
Right, right. He was on fire last week. On fire.
Monster's been created.
Yeah. I was like, Ron, are you auditioning for the co-host slot or what? I mean, you can't be replaced, Brian.
I could be.
Okay, well, we're not planning on replacing you.
You find somebody else that's got more sponsorship money, they'll take this chair over in a heartbeat.
And on that note.
Yeah. Well, we have a special guest in studio with us, and as most of our guests probably wonder, what the heck did I just get myself into? He's running for Polk County Sheriff as Republican. Which is a challenge in and of itself in Polk County. It's Polk County has basically been run by Democrats since, 1948, I think, something like that.
Board of Supervisors since 1948, early 70s for Republican sheriff.
Okay. Well, we got Dan Charleston in studio with us, who he jokingly called himself the longest-standing sergeant in Polk County history. I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Well, that's what happens when you run against your boss.
Okay.
But welcome to the show.
Yeah, Dan. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity, guys.
Yeah, this is your second time running. I know you can't talk a lot about this, but I want to give some background to our listeners. After Dan ran in 2012, he's engaged now in a federal lawsuit with Sheriff McCarthy. And lo and behold, just, two, 3 weeks ago, he was served with termination and demotion papers. I'm not sure where they gave you both. Maybe if one didn't pan out, the other will work. But he's appealing that. But here, Dan can't talk about that, but I just want to say this. That just looks really bad when you're running against the guy you're running against decides, I'm going to terminate you. So anyway, we'll let you guys decide, you know, what you think about that. But I think it stinks. It reeks to high heaven. And sorry, Dan's going through that.
We were talking off the air. It seemed like we'd revisited Hazard County and Boss Hogg was up to no good.
Ah, yeah. What was the sheriff's name? Cletus? No, he had a deputy named Cletus. The
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Yep. Hopefully, yeah. Not that Dan's, well, McCarthy might be like that. Dan is, I don't know what Dan would be in terms of the Dukes of Hazzard analogy.
I don't think it'd be Cletus.
No, it won't be Cletus, no. So the analogy falls flat there. But anyway, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio again. So why are you wanting to run at this a second time?
What is the matter with you, Dan?
Well, I'm going to take my training experience over 26 years and make some bold changes here in Polk County. Unfortunately, last time there was a lot of straight ticket voters for the president.
Right.
And we're going to get the message out there a little bit better about the no speed cameras, the unconstitutionality of them, the supervisor to staff ratio, how there's only four deputies running the entire county. And that's not even close to the national average.
Four deputies
running the entire county on patrol, how there's mandatory overtime in all divisions because the supervisor staff ratio is one supervisor to every 2.5 deputies when the national average is 1 to 10.
Okay, so, I guess I didn't realize our four in every given shift.
On the shift.
Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
Wow.
And does that include cities or towns that contract with Polk County Sheriff's Department?
In addition, like there's two contract cities, Bondurant and Grimes, but those deputies have to stay there per contract unless a priority one call comes out and they're authorized by a supervisor to leave, because that city is paying that deputy to be there a certain amount of time.
So then four for the rest of unincorporated
right.
Polk County.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Oh, it's terrible. And it was the same MO when the current sheriff was the chief of police at Des Moines. They were extremely low, and there was a whole lot of supervisors, which affects you as a citizen, your response time. When somebody's at your back door, when you just get in an accident at an intersection, you're waiting for an officer. So I'd rather have somebody available in a very quick response time than I would having a supervisor manage themselves or manage other supervisors, when you can turn that around and make that within the national average, which is not being done in the last 7.5 years under the current sheriff.
Okay. So speed cameras, what kind of feedback are you getting from voters on the speed camera issue?
We put that on all of our signs, business cards, bumper stickers. It's very positive. I needed something to wake people up here in Polk County and cross party lines, because there's a lot of straight ticket voting, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And people really need to understand you can have a say in your local law enforcement and who your sheriff is. And if you want stuff changed, you need to quit complaining about it, engage and vet and figure out that there are issues like enforcement of immigration laws, getting rid of the unconstitutional speed cameras that are not about safety. If they were, why they let you go 11 over the speed limit? So this is all a scam, and people need to understand there's a difference. And if they get involved, they can actually vote the current sheriff out, and you can vote somebody in that has a plan and a goal. So
okay. So when it comes to how is McCarthy not enforcing immigration law?
Well, the 287G program is a federal program that basically allows any certified peace officer, deputy sheriff, state patrolman, to, when they run across somebody that they believe is in the country illegally, they don't have a Social Security number, they don't have a date of birth, they can go to jail for the original charge they were put there for. And then we have up to 48 hours to send documents to ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, and say, hey, we've got this guy here, and we think he's in the country illegally because we can't confirm who he is. Mm-hmm. And they basically have 48 hours to get back with us and say, yeah, hold this guy. We don't want him to get out because he crossed the border 10 years ago and he's killed a family down in, you know, Texas, for example. So instead, what's going on right now is ICE is not in the jail. The ICE agents want to do their job. They want to enforce laws, but it's a thing from the administration in D.C. all the way down to we're now one of 26 counties out of 99 that are sanctuary county. Polk County is. And you guys need to understand that what's going on is something from D.C. all the way down here to local politicians. There are people putting their agenda ahead of public safety, and that's not going to happen. If you don't want to honor your oath of office and enforce current law, then you need to get out of the business. So that's why one of the reasons I'm running.
Okay. So we used to actually have an ICE agent in the jail before.
Yeah, they were there and available at all times, and they did a real good job of, running people through and figuring out who they legitimately were. Right now, if you take somebody to jail for a charge and they give you a false name that you cannot confirm, he goes to jail as John Doe or Jane Doe. Instead, what's going on is, say they give a false name and somebody comes in a half hour later and says, I want to bond that person out. We still don't know who they are. And if they've got a bond under that AKA, also known as, they go out the back door.
Okay.
And that's very concerning to me, as well as most law enforcement, except for obviously some department heads that have an agenda, because what's coming over our southern border, 60% of the people coming over are other than Mexican. And with
the number is that high.
With that high. And right now, regardless of who you're going to vote for president, there's an influx at the border in the last month because of the Trump campaign and of the building of the wall. So there's an issue now of, hey, get over there while you can, because they're going to secure this border. I've got in-laws that are in town right now, and they're from Sierra Vista, Arizona, right down by Nogales, Tombstone. Which is big ports down there where there's an influx of people coming in. And the Border Patrol's been pushed back 50 miles. And unfortunately, you can get here paying a coyote about $1,500, and you can be in Polk County in about 3 days. So it's affecting at our border all the way up here in the Midwest, unfortunately.
What, yeah, I mean, how big of a problem do you think Polk County has? Just to get, I mean, obviously we don't have hard numbers.
No, we don't have hard numbers, but when you work in court services and you work as a detention officer in the jail and you work on the street, the deputies will tell you that this is a huge problem. When you get to an accident and nobody's there, there's usually probably an undocumented person that's going to take off or an intox that's going to take off. You deal with AKAs in the jail system and court services. These guys have forgot which names that they use. And they're literally, when you're dealing with a guy with, you know, several names, and he forgot which one he used last time. It's that sad.
Wow.
So the deal is economically, when you enforce the law, it helps your community all the way from health care, all the way to corrections, all the way to, you know, what we do every day in law enforcement. So I just want to be that person that's going to enforce immigration laws, and I want to be the voice of the legal immigrant that waited in line and paid the price. And obviously we need to do a better job at that whole system. It shouldn't take that long. But you
well,
know,
Dan, tell us what that looks like, though. Forgive me for interrupting you, but sure. Tell us what that looks like. What are you going to do differently?
If day one, if you were elected, how would...
Well, differently, I would invite ICE back into the jail, and I would let the deputies know on the street as well as the other community law enforcement agencies that we will enforce 287G, which is the, you know, the federal program that allows any certified peace officer in the state to actually bring somebody in that's undocumented. So if you're at a domestic or if you're at a traffic accident and you find somebody that you believe is not in the country legally because you cannot verify their information, you're going to right away take them into jail regardless. Right now you've got somebody, maybe they're in an accident, maybe they went off the road in a ditch, and you know nothing's going to happen from D.C. all the way down, so that person just gets a ride or they walk away.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is when they walk away, they get back in that vehicle and they T-bone your family or they do something maybe ISIS-related because, like I said, those numbers are not just about the Mexican population at our southern border. You have right. no idea the vetting process, who we have. So just like the Trump effect, whether you like him or not, if they know somebody in your county is actually going to enforce laws, that encourages people to go play elsewhere.
Right.
And just like criminal gang participation, the amount of gangs that are coming here, we have over 100 in Iowa, over 50 of them are in Polk County. We're going to put a gang team together. We're actually going to put a human trafficking team together because that's through the roof right here at 35 and 80. We're going to take a proactive role and actually honor our oath of office and actually enforce laws.
You're listening to Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. In studio, we have Dan Charleston with us, who's a Republican candidate running for Polk County Sheriff. Dan, with just the time left, jail services, you're working with court services. Explain a little bit about what you're currently doing there and how maybe that would even be different under a Sheriff Charleston.
Well, right now we have about a 95% dispo rate. In other words, plea bargain rate through the county attorney's office with inmates that come through our system. Our sentence guidelines in this state look really good on paper, but the plea bargaining for what these guys do, I totally disagree with. I have no problem doing that civilly, but criminally, when the inmates laugh at the system and they let you know that, you know, this is a joke, I can go do 6 months in county jail or I can go do a quarter, which is 25 years, in the Department of Corrections, because I know I'm only going to do 3 to 5 of those years. That stuff is comical, and it's we're a laughingstock in Polk County. A lot of the inmates address this as two things: we're the Mayberry effect, because we act like we don't have a clue what's going on, and there's a lot of good cops, and we do. The other thing that is literally corrupt is we get called the Chi-Town, a mini Chi-Town, which is a mini Cook County. And politically and with the inmates, that's a disgrace, actually. And having these gangs come from St. Louis, L.A., Denver, Minneapolis, what are they coming to Polk County for? We're seeing an influx in shootings on the street, drive-bys. We're seeing an influx in human trafficking. So we need to take a more proactive role to that. As far as court services, I was put down there after the last election, taken off the street and put down in court services. Mm. That's a whole other issue. I mean, the manpower we waste down there as far as bringing inmates from the jail to come to court for literally an attorney visit, I would do everything I can as the elected sheriff to say, let's be a little more proficient with manpower. Mm-hmm. And just because you don't want to go out and visit your inmate at the jail doesn't mean we need to bring them back down, pay people overtime to come in early, stay late.
Right.
This is all at taxpayers' expense. The whole system needs to be revamped. Hopefully I'll have a voice in that as the sheriff. Unfortunately, as middle management, I don't have that big of a voice.
Are they? They're doing some court proceedings at the jail now, aren't they?
Your initial appearance there is there, but you have to understand when that new jail was built, they had three courtrooms in there, but that bond came out for the new courthouse years ago, so they literally took two of the courtrooms out. Most big metropolitan cities are actually having what's called video court. And constitutionally, mm-hmm. you have a right to face your accuser in a jury trial, but if 95% of these cases are not going to trial, I think we can better facilitate the whole judicial process, frankly.
Yeah, definitely. How much say do you think you'd have in that as sheriff?
Oh, we could get together with the chief judge at Fifth Judicial as the sheriff and the county attorney, and we can tweak some stuff and... But you got to understand it because you've actually worked in it. The current sheriff has worked in a jail, never done court services, doesn't see the manpower issues, doesn't see the waste of taxpayers' dollars day to day.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in. You can learn
thanks,
more
Dan.
By going to charlestonforsheriff.com. That's a great-looking website you've got there, by the way. I wonder who did that.
Shane, you did a great job on that.
Thanks. charlestonforsheriff.com. Check it out. Thanks, Dan, for coming in. This
Appreciate
is Caffeinated
it.
Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates. Keeping your operations running.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
On the line, we have a very special guest, U.S. Senator Joni Ernst. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Senator.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you guys. Thank you so much.
So I wanted to ask you, I saw a press release your office sent out that said a WASP measure was passed. Now, when I see the term WASP, I think of something
it's like,
totally different.
What does that mean?
It's like, what is that all about?
Well, WASP, to those of us in the military or have been in the military, stands for Women Air Force Service Pilots.
Okay.
And we had a big battle going on trying to reinstate the WASP internment rights out at Arlington National Cemetery.
So they had rights before?
Yes, that's correct.
So why were they take those rights away?
Well, in 2015, so just a year ago, the Army decided, the Secretary of the Army decided, I interpret the rules and regulations different than the way they have been interpreted in the past. And so he stopped all internment rights for the Women Air Force Service pilots. So they were no longer able to have their ashes placed at Arlington National Cemetery. Hmm. There are wasps that are out there already. And it came up right about the time Elaine Harmon had passed away. She was a wasp. And in her will, she had instructed her family to have her ashes placed at Arlington. Mm-hmm. So poor Elaine Harmon's family has had her ashes in her granddaughter's closet for nearly a year now, waiting for those rights to be reinstated. The Army was not going to take action on it, so there were a number of us women legislators that said this is wrong. If the Army's not going to do it, we are. Okay. And we did get that passed and signed by the president.
Well, Senator Ernst, real quickly, what was the justification for the change?
I don't think there was a strong justification, to be honest. Yes, exactly. And I think their reasoning was these women never served in the military, and, you know, put that in quotes. The understanding when these women were brought into this Air Force service profession or this program years and years ago, this was during World War II, they believed that they were going to be militarized. Mm. That was the point of the program. Mm-hmm. But the program ended before they were actually put on orders that would have militarized them.
So they viewed themselves as veterans.
Yes, and they do have veteran status. That was granted to them in 1977. So they are considered veterans now by the law, but for whatever reason, the Secretary of the Army last year decided, you know what, we're not going to place them in Arlington anymore. But a number of them did pass away in service to the nation. There were 38 that died flying missions. They were non-combat missions, but they were in service to our country during World War II.
That's a shame. And you know, since we have a president who tends to like to do things by executive order anyway, since he signed the bill, I'm surprised he didn't address this beforehand. Any thoughts as why?
No thoughts on why, but other than it was his Secretary of the Army that took those rights away. So, of course, he's probably not going to do anything to be very helpful order.
But he did sign the bill.
But he did sign the bill. To his credit, he did sign the bill, and now they have had those rights restored, and we are very thankful for that.
You've recently talking about Veterans Affairs, you've recently called for the resignation of VA Secretary Robert McDonald.
Yes.
What's your issue with him?
Well, I think there are a number of issues, but the
<Don't> figure.
Really, there are so many issues facing our VA today, the healthcare system. But what really pushed me over the edge the other day was his comments in a press gathering where he compared the wait lines that veterans have experienced at the VA healthcare facilities, the wait lines, mm-hmm. to the wait lines at Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
It was maybe a poor analogy.
Very poor analogy. Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. The VA is not the happiest place on earth.
Right.
And when veterans are waiting for health care that could mean life or death, we should not be comparing it to Disneyland. This is not waiting in line to get on the teacups, you know, or on the Dumbo ride. This is waiting for restorative health care, life-saving health care. And the fact that he has not addressed this in the couple of years that he's been serving as the VA director, it is ridiculous. He needs to resign, or the president needs to ask him to step down.
Right. I find it interesting because Independent Journal Review, they interviewed somebody with the Disney Corporation. They said, well, we're actually trying to address the lines.
Right. Disney is addressing the lines, and they're trying to make it a very wonderful experience while you're waiting in line.
Right.
But unfortunately, we have many, many veterans that aren't able to access the VA healthcare system, certainly in a timely manner. And we've actually seen over the past year year or so that Secretary McDonald has been at the helm, those wait times have actually increased.
So what you've obviously looked into this issue extensively. What's the average wait time for a veteran, have you found?
Well, there are a number, and I apologize, I don't have it in front of me right now. I do know the average wait time for a veteran, say they're looking at, those that are looking at mental health care, the average wait time across the United States is 36 days.
Oh, wow.
From the time they, ask for an appointment to the time they actually receive the appointment. And I know that there are thousands, and I wish I did have the actual figure in front of me, but there are thousands of veterans that will wait longer than 120 days to receive an appointment.
That's great. Well,
I was going to say, with the wait times relative to mental health issues, that's pretty scary. If they have to wait that long, I mean, bad things can happen to folks when they're having those difficulties.
Absolutely. And that's why we see, and again, this is a VA statistic, and I just, off the top of our heads, and I think hopefully most of our public knows this, but we lose 22 veterans to suicide every day. And that is a VA statistic. And the VA statistic is 36 days average wait time for mental health appointments. So the VA really needs to do a better job. They have got to focus on the issues inside that administration. That starts at the very top. And if you have someone at the top that doesn't understand the significance of these issues, he needs to go.
Right. And do you think, is this just bureaucratic red tape, or is this a lack of doctors? Do we have any idea what might be causing some of these problems?
Well, I think it is just so many issues across the board. It could be a lack of providers in some of the facilities. I know that they have issues with their outdated IT structure and the programs that they use within the hospitals. A number of years ago, the VA had tried to update their scheduling system. They spent millions and millions of dollars on a program they were trying to develop themselves. It took years, years and years, and they didn't ever get a product that worked. So it was all those years wasted, millions of dollars wasted. They had the same old program they've had, and they've got to do better. So we really need an administrator, somebody at the very top that understands all of these different issues and is willing to address those different issues. But we haven't seen any steps in the right direction from Robert McDonald. And his remarks just further emphasize the fact that he is so disconnected from our veterans population and all of the struggles they're facing. If he can't relate to those veterans, there is no way that he will be able to organize and fix such a broken system.
Right. You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have U.S. Senator Joni Ernst. Senator Ernst, a couple of your measures passed the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee recently. For instance, the House there was a bill that was going to rename the Cedar Rapids Post Office after Sergeant First Class Terry L. Pasker, hopefully I'm pronouncing his name right.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Right. Who was an Iowa National Guardsman who was killed in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that was unanimous.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely unanimous. And we did name a number of post offices the other day in other states. The one that I spoke to was the Cedar Rapids Post Office, named after Sergeant First Class Pasker. And I did get a little emotional as I was speaking to this. He was an Iowa National Guardsman, served honorably with our 2nd Brigade Combat Team, was killed overseas. He leaves behind a wonderful family. And I did not have the fortune of knowing Sergeant First Class Pasker personally, but I do know a number of people that worked with him and truly appreciated the life and the sacrifice that he gave on behalf of the Iowa National Guard in the United States. And we thank him for his service, and this is one way that we can honor him into eternity.
Absolutely.
Is by naming this post office after him.
Yes, and just a thought occurred to me, and
I served in Iowa, Army National Guard, as did you. And I was out before 9/11, so I didn't have a chance to go overseas, almost participated in Desert Storm. Are we asking, I just want to ask, are we asking too much out of our national, our citizen soldiers? Because it seems like, I'm sorry, this is kind of a question that I wasn't initially going to ask. It seems like they're going over. I know a number of guys who have gone over 2-3 times. Does it seem like we're calling on our National Guardsmen overseas too much?
We have become an operational force, which means we are engaging our National Guard and our reservists a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just sent the battalion headquarters that I commanded in the National Guard, they just left about 3 weekends ago. They will be heading over to Afghanistan. It was hard to see them go, and I mm-hmm. understand many of those soldiers have deployed multiple times. And so when I ask our National Guard soldiers about this, I have many of them that state, no, this is an honor to do
right.
this. They are not bothered. They want to make sure that their employers are okay with it.
Sure.
But they do have that desire to serve their state and their nation. There are some that it does trouble them a little bit that they are deploying multiple times. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that we do have an all-volunteer force.
That's true.
And we still have a lot of brave young men and women that are signing up every day to be members of the National Guard, knowing that they may deploy multiple times in the next 10, 20 years or however long mm-hmm. it may be. Is it right or wrong? I think if we're doing our job and we are making the world a safer place, then I think we are making an impact.
We've only got about a minute left, Senator Ernst. Real quickly, is this how our military should go into the future with simply a voluntary force?
I certainly hope so. I do hope so. What we see, though, is a drawdown of our active forces and our reserve and guard forces. We would like to see those bolstered so that we are not depending on the same people over and over and over again for multiple
yes.
deployments.
Yeah, very, very true. Senator Ernst, I just appreciate you addressing that.
Absolutely.
And certainly I do. Those who have served and hopefully those who may not be listening have served, we certainly do appreciate their service, as we appreciate your service, Senator Ernst.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure, and we hope to have you back soon.
My pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news segment, otherwise known as News You Can Use. First up, from the Washington Examiner, This is actually, I think, an opinion piece.
It
from
is.
Philip Klein. For all of Rubio's high-minded talk, it seems that when push comes to shove, he doesn't have the courage to stand up for his stated convictions. It's one thing to begrudgingly argue that it is that as dangerous as he thinks a Trump presidency would be, that he thinks a Clinton presidency would be even worse. But to actually say that he would be honored by the chance to speak on Trump's behalf at the GOP convention and to downplay his previously stated problems with Trump as mere, quote, policy differences, unquote, is to prove the Rubio skeptics right. That is, far from being an inspirational moral leader, Rubio has shown himself to be more of an opportunistic politician with his finger to the wind. He latched onto the Tea Party energy when he needed it to launch a long-shot Senate bid against an establishment figure in 2010. He embraced the idea of comprehensive immigration reform in 2013 in the wake of a GOP autopsy, suggesting it was necessary to win in a changing electorate, but then downplayed it as it became a hindrance to his presidential campaign. Now he's desperate to reconcile his past words about Trump from just over 2 months ago with his current political need to fall in line behind his party's nominee. What do you think about that, Shane?
Well, there's been a lot of people I've been disappointed with. Again, like Philip Klein said, it's one thing to say, while I have problems with Trump, I think a Clinton presidency would be worse. I can kind of, I understand that argument, but these people falling down who ravaged. Like, I think of Governor Perry, who was the first to really come out both barrels against Donald Trump. I mean, mm-hmm. ravished him with criticism.
Boom.
To say, "Oh, I'd be his VP." Well, you know, okay, I can understand begrudging support, but this cheerleading when you've been such a fierce critic, it's no wonder.
Welcome to politics, my friend.
It's no wonder people don't trust politicians, because a person shouldn't be able to spin on a dime
like that.
That's right. I can't. That's why I'm never Trump. I can't say the things I've said and say, I'll vote for him. I mean,
are you speaking literally that you can't spend on a dime?
Well, it'd probably be entertaining to watch.
It would be.
So, next up from the New York Times. Diehard Bernie Sanders backers see the FBI as the answer to their prayers.
They pray?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Senator Bernie Sanders may be trailing Hillary Clinton by hundreds of delegates, and Mrs. Clinton may be treating the Democratic nomination as hers, but Julie Crowell, a stay-at-home mother and diehard Sanders supporter, is holding out for an 11th-hour miracle. Divine deliverance at the hands of the FBI. Like many of Mr. Sanders' supporters, Mrs. Crowell, age 37, said she hoped that Mrs. Clinton's use of a private email server during her time as Secretary of State would eventually yield an indictment. And she described it as the kind of transgression that would disqualify another politician seeking high office. Now, I got to say, I can get behind that.
Right.
This totally would have been anybody else. Hillary Clinton would have been gone a year ago.
Yeah.
She should be removed, said Mrs. Crowell, who attended a Sanders rally here on Tuesday and said she planned to vote for a third-party candidate if Mr. Sanders failed to overtake Mrs. Clinton and capture the Democratic nomination. I don't know why she's not already being told, you can't run because you're being investigated. I don't know how that's not a thing.
It's not a thing. I love that quote. It should be a thing.
It should be a thing.
Yeah. And you know, here we get Hillary Clinton is facing email scandal. Donald Trump is in the midst of a fraud lawsuit and will probably have to testify shortly after.
American politics. Yeah,
shortly after winning clinching the nomination. I mean, he's the presumptive nominee, but as soon as he's officially nominated, that's right about the time that he's going to have to testify in this Trump University lawsuit. It's like, yeah, God bless America. Let's nominate two corrupt politicians.
There's a great quote at the end of this piece. If there's any chance of her, that would be Mrs. Clinton, getting indicted, they shouldn't even consider her for the nomination, said Zachary O'Neill, age 21, of Escondido. We can't have a criminal in the White House.
It warms my heart to see some Democrats feel that way.
Well, it would seem to me like it would be the norm to have a criminal in the White House.
Yeah, probably is. I'm not a crook.
Next up, Jack Schaefer at Politico magazine. How Trump destroyed the interview. The interview is the Niagara that fills the news ocean. Ooh, what an analogy. A quick check of the front page of the New York Times, a scan of any 30-minute block of CNN, or a few clicks on the Politico homepage will establish it. For generations, the interview has been the linchpin of the Fourth Estate. Oh, wait, is there still a Fourth Estate?
Not really.
Does the Fourth Estate even exist?
It does
at Caffeinated Thoughts. A way for journalists to assemble the authoritative story of who our leaders are, sort the false from the true, and hold power accountable. Conducted in person, over the phone, via email, or over Skype, the interview has become indispensable to the free press, and especially to political journalists who depend on it to X-ray politicians for the truth. X-ray them. But in 2016, the interview appears to have met its match. Over the past 12 months of the presidential campaign, Donald Trump has dulled its power with his systematic evasions, contradictions, deceptions, and generally making a mockery of the form. Thanks to his skills at quibbling, his talent for the non sequitur, and his willingness to reverse himself inside a single sentence. Oh, that is just perfect.
Yeah.
Trump has figured out how to soften rather than sharpen public discourse every time he is interviewed, blurring it into yet another form of meaningless PR. And if he continues, destroying a journalistic institution in the process.
Okay. First of all, I love the title. You know,
they should say
the death of the interview rather than destroy. Yes. That way, we're doing an autopsy of the interview.
Yeah, there you go.
First of all, Donald Trump is not the only one to blame here. It's also journalists who allow him to do this. Anytime he quibbles, anytime he reverses himself, journalists should follow up with a follow up question. Wait a minute, you just reversed yourself.
But I have watched him multiple times on the NBC news show at first thing in the morning. I don't know why it's not coming to me.
Today?
Yeah, Today Show. I've seen him get interviewed multiple times on the Today Show. And they do try to go after him a little bit, but it just doesn't faze him. He just acts
true.
Like, I mean, it just rolls off him, you know, like water off a duck's back. You catch him in a lie, no problem. This guy nails it. I mean, the way Trump tactic.
Sure. I think this goes back to something Ted Cruz said about Donald Trump he's a pathological liar.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying at the moment, he believes. Anyway, with that note, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, Down Home American Kids.
There are times in a conflict when the emotional drain has left you with the been there, done that, got the t-shirt attitude. Your creativity has been totally zapped and you cannot think of any solution other than the ones that you've tried over and over again. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. The letter S in the Pause for Peace principle is to search for creative solutions. This will require you to explore a little outside of the box you have erected around this conflict. The best solution might be an outlier to the typical win-win or 50-50 propositions. You might benefit from additional set of eyes on the problem. So if we can help, please feel free to call us at 515-635-5465 to set up a free consultation or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. Again, that number, 515-635-5465.
Hey, Caffeinated Thoughts listeners, are you a Caffeinated Thoughts reader as well? Be sure to check out CaffeinatedThoughts.com for all of our daily content. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for our emails, be our friend, because Ron needs friends.
Yes.
So does Brian. I've got enough. I'm not sure I need any more. No.
Maybe you could loan us a couple.
I could.
He does have about a bazillion friends on Facebook, and I don't know how many Twitters.
I got over 6,000 Twitter followers, which actually is not that
close
much.
Close personal you, friends,
yeah,
all
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, yep, definitely. We're all tight.
And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right, this one is from The Hill. Donald Trump declared Thursday that, quote, you have to be wealthy in order to be great, unquote, while promising to add wealth to the country. The comment from the billionaire businessman and presumptive GOP presidential nominee came during a speech in North Dakota while touting his economic ideas and decrying the stealth tax of crime in a speech on energy. There's one more thing that we must do to make America wealthy again. And you have to be wealthy in order to be great. I'm sorry to say that, Trump said during his speech.
I'm sure he's very sorry.
Yes.
He cried tears after he said that.
Yeah, right. Right. The whole
I'm sorry to say. You have to be wealthy in order to be
the
great.
The sad thing is normally we don't bring in a serious news article.
Yeah, exactly. This is the real thing. Here's the really thing that you can't make this stuff up is we just read the most ridiculous quote by the guy who conceivably could be the next president of the United States.
Yep. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, drum roll please. We have a twofer. All right, this one is from UPI. A man filming a squirrel while taking a stroll in New York.
It's funny already.
Squirrel! Hey man, filming a squirrel while taking a stroll in New York inadvertently recreated a Jurassic Park scene when a second squirrel attacked while he was distracted.
David, they strategized.
David Markovich posted a video to YouTube showing the footage he filmed when a squirrel let him get close in a New York City park. Squirrels here, Markovich says in the video. Look at this guy. Markovich marvels at the unusually close-up shot he's able to get of the apparently fearless squirrel. Oh my gosh,
probably
so close. Markovich says as he turns the camera. A second squirrel staring at Markovich from atop a fence mere feet away then lunges at him. And appears to make contact with the camera, bringing an abrupt end to the video. Clever squirrel.
Yeah.
You got to put that one up on Caffeinated
Thoughts. I've got to find the YouTube one for that. So yeah,
squirrel attacking.
I have to remember. I'll have to do that right as we get off the air because I sometimes forget to do that. But yeah, that has to be something we have to watch too. But. First thing that amazes me is that there's, I mean, okay, maybe it's New York City. They're not used to nature, but squirrels, really? You're going to video a squirrel? I mean.
Well, these squirrels are from the hood. I mean,
that's true, which is probably why it was a little more aggressive.
I mean, yeah, the squirrels out at my place, they would never do this. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean? The rural squirrels, I mean, no.
I wonder if the ones there were kind of used to getting fed every once in a while, too.
Probably.
Or, looking for handouts. So to
and he said, you look tasty.
Hey, I'm serious. There's probably a gang,
You're probably right.
Probably a gang of squirrels.
I like that.
And Markovich goes in on their turf.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they set him up.
Yep. That was a great illustration of Jurassic Park. It's like, oh, distraction.
All send right. your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story at caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
Probably the blame. Thank you. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Take care.